Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and Acts chapter 8. The title of our lesson today is that the trial of your faith. That the trial of your faith. May I say this, trials come to each and every one of us. Trials are unpredictable changes. One word I use to describe the pandemic that we find ourselves in is inconvenience. Have you noticed everything seems to be inconvenient? And I had to stop at a garage sale the other day, and it said, no mask, be gone. And I'm thinking, man, I never thought you'd have to go wear a mask to a garage sale. But, you know, I put it on and I went up. But we find ourselves in an unpredictable time, don't we? We don't know what lays ahead. We got a letter, a thought today from Tim Hawkins, a longtime missionary in Brazil. And they have started dozens of churches there in the Amazon basin. And they have lost a good number of pastors to the COVID-19 pandemic. Difficult time. Trials that come our way. We are blessed here in America that we haven't had near the problems that some other countries have had. But a trial is a testing. It can be an affliction. It can be a hardship. Woe and or sorrow, misery, grief, misfortune. Trials can be health issues, financial loss, or family situations. And Peter, the writer of this book, was writing to fellow believers, many of who had suffered persecution and tribulation upon their conversion to Christianity. If you would, let's stand together, 1 Peter chapter 1, and we will read verses 1 through 9 like we have done the last 2 weeks. Beginning at verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we thank you for your mercy and your love, your grace, your long suffering. And Lord, we know that you would have no one perish, but that all would come to repentance. Lord, we know that probably everyone in this room right now has a burden on their heart. Lord, we would pray that you would handle that in such a way that you would receive the honor and glory. Asking, Lord, that your will be done. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Take your Bibles now, and keeping your place here in 1 Peter, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, we'll begin reading at verse 1 down through verse 4. Trials, temptations, things that put our faith to the test. And it says there in verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death. Now that goes back to chapter 7, where Stephen was stoned. And then it says, and at that time there was great persecution. The church which was at Jerusalem, and they that were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And at that time there was great persecution against the church. Great persecution against what? The church. The body of called out believers. May I say this, that in our world, we find that we are drifting from Christianity. Now you say, well, why is that, Pastor Paul? Well, the Bible tells us that whatever we sow, we will reap. And so we are living in a society now that has been taught evolution. We have been taught that we're here by chance. But the fact is, the Bible teaches that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And for decades, for centuries, this was taught as fact. That God created the heavens and the earth. But then man began to think, well, you know, is there really a God? Because if there's a God, then there is someone that can tell us what we need to do. And we, by nature, don't like anybody to tell us what to do. Right? How many of you as a kid were told, don't eat that cookie? And what did you want to do? In fact, you were trying to figure out a way to eat that cookie, right? How many of you, there was a bowl or a plate of cookies covered by saran wrap, and you were trying to figure out how you could get the saran wrap off, or just up a little bit so you could get a cookie in such a way that nobody knew that one cookie was taken. Anybody ever try to do that? I was a thief at a young age. You say, Pastor Paul, really? In kindergarten, I took a guy's horse and cowboy and took it home. In kindergarten. A toy. Yeah. Not a real horse. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I started early. Yeah. And cookies, man, if I was told I couldn't have cookies, I'd try to figure out a way I could. But the fact of the matter is we are rebellious by nature, and we don't want to believe there is a God who's going to tell us that we should live certain ways. And so now for generations, we've been taught evolution. We're told, hey, there are no definite facts. We need to be tolerant of everybody's feelings. And God says, I'm not tolerant. Thou shalt not. Correct? Thou shalt not. But the fact is, people don't like to be told that. And evolution has been pounded to the point that now it's not a theory. It's a fact. Is it a good theory? Not if you study evolution. If you study evolution, you say, well, how in the world? What do you mean? How could this have happened? But the thing is, and what we're finding today, is that people want to believe, I have the final choice. But we don't have the final choice. Notice, let's begin reading again there in verse 1 of chapter 8. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women and committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. They were scattered abroad because of persecution. The trial of your faith. Acts 11:19 says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word." Persecution comes. And the closer you are to the Lord, the more you can be assured that persecution will come. Jesus told his disciples, "But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another." That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, that the trial of your faith is valuable. Now, how many of you think that persecution would be valuable? And yet Peter says it's more precious than gold, because that persecution will do one of two things. It will either bring you closer to the Lord, or it will drive you away. It will either bring you closer in your fellowship with the Lord, or it'll make you resentful and you'll drift away. But if you remain faithful, it is more precious than gold that perisheth. Because how many of you are going to take your gold to heaven with you? Can I say this to you? Gold is not needed in heaven. There are no potholes there. That's not original with me. But you don't need gold in heaven. But your faith will speak volumes. It'll bring you closer to the Lord. It is more precious than gold. That's what Peter told these early believers. Yes, you're going through persecution. Yes, you're going through trying times. Yes, it's difficult, but your trials are more precious than of gold that perisheth. That the trial of your faith might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Your persecution, your trials, those things that come against you, if you are able to remain strong, they bring honor and glory to whom? To our Heavenly Father. Do you remember when Job went through that hard day when he lost just about everything and he would not curse God? We find that he was willing to stand up and say, "Hey, I came in with nothing. I'm going to go out with nothing. Blessed be the name of the Lord." When your temptations come, Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. You probably know this story well. But as we're studying about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the last few minutes of our sermon, think about this, that the trial of your faith might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. In your mind's eye, can you see this tall statue of Nebuchadnezzar? And he has called anybody of any governmental position. And they're going to come for one reason. What's that one reason? To bow down to it. Now the Jews that are there, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are they going to bow down? What if you were there? If with your Christian faith, are you going to bow down? See, in our world today, we are being asked to bow down to certain idols. to certain things that would pull us away from the Lord, that would pull us away from the Word of God and from the house of God and from the people of God. There in verse 3 says, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. They, those that were called, all those that were the governors and treasurers and counselors and sheriffs and rulers of the provinces. Verse 4. Then an herald cried out, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. In your mind's eye, do you see all these men and women who are there suddenly being told, you're going to have to bow down to this image? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. There are going to be those who bow down who are spitting on the ground as they do. Because they're saying, Nebuchadnezzar, I'll do this because I don't want to be what? Thrown into the burning, fiery furnace, right? There are going to be those who say, okay, I'll go along with the crowd, and I'll look over here at my friend, and we'll wink at each other, and we'll go down, but we're not being truthful about it. But what if you can't even bow down? That's hard, isn't it? Are you being put in a position that means you're going to have to stand up for your Lord and for your God? Yes, you are. Verse 8. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Verse 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set up over the affairs of the provinces of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You knew someone was going to tell, right? Think about it. I don't know how many men were there. Hundreds? Thousands? I mean, Babylon was a very large empire at that time. And three men don't bow down. So are they going to stand out like a sore thumb? Yeah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Wow. What guts. Abednego, Shadrach, Meshach. Does it bother you if I say it the wrong direction? It's hard to say it the wrong way because we're used to saying it in a certain way. But these three are going to be standing up. Everybody's going to be whispering and pointing and asking, well, what are they doing? Why aren't they bowing down? Don't they know what's going to happen? They're going to throw them in the fiery furnace. They're going to die. Isn't that what you would be thinking? Absolutely. That the trial of your faith, how strong is your faith today? How strong? Verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at the what time ye hear the sound of the, and then the musical instruments, ye shall fall down and worship the image which I shall have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Trash talk. Because Babylon had done what to the Jews in Jerusalem? They'd taken them captive, right? They had brought them by the thousands back to Babylon. And so Nebuchadnezzar says, hey, you know, your God isn't strong enough to beat my God. Who's going to deliver you? How strong is your faith? How strong? We'll continue reading. Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor serve the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, I think they're all trying to be nice with each other. Nebuchadnezzar is trying to, you know, placate these guys and say, hey, all you have to do is bow down and everything will be okay. And these guys are saying, no, it won't be okay. And our God is going to deliver us out of your hands one way or the other, either by saving us from the burning furnace or he'll take us home. He's going to take us home. We'll be delivered. They were not afraid of what? Death. Death. Can I say this, that death is not the worst thing that can happen in your life? But betraying God is. You ponder that. Which is worse, betraying God or dying? You that know God is your Savior, death is not the worst thing that can happen. I remember when my mother was sitting there in the hospital and the hospice nurse had come in and was trying to help my mother through this. And my mother said, I know where I'm going. I'm not afraid of death. And she began to tell the hospice worker about her faith. And by the time the hospice worker leaves, she's in tears and my mother has a smile on her face. My mother didn't fear death. She was glad to get out of that cancerous body of hers. She was glad to escape that body that had become, well, shall we say, the enemy. Verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. In the Old Testament, there was known Christophanies. It was the appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. And there are a number of times in which Christ appeared, and here is one of them. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God, that the trial of your faith might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Down through the centuries, hundreds, thousands, maybe millions of believers have been martyred for the faith. They'd been fed to the lions. They were put on poles and oiled up and used as street lights in Rome. They were drowned. They were burned at the stake, many of them preaching and singing to the point that they would bind their mouths so they could not speak as they were being burned. And they did it because of their love for Christ. The trial of your faith. How strong is your faith? How much do you love the Lord? In conclusion, let's begin reading at verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every person, every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Brother Wutke, you read earlier about the Ezra and the King Darius, right? Who said, anybody that speaks or tries to stop the building of this temple, they'll be hanged on the wood from their own house, and their house will be made a dunghill. Let me ask you a question. What if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had bowed down? What about a testimony for their God? There would have been no testimony, right? There would have been no testimony. See, when we stand up for our Lord, we are a testimony for the Lord. And that's what we are to be, a testimony for our God. How strong is your faith? Number one, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And number two, are you serving Him as He is God of your life? That's a question only you can answer. Shall we stand together? The altar is here, whereas we have the invitation time. You can come and pray by yourself, or we'd be glad to pray with you if you'd like, if you let it be known. You can come and sit on the front pew and pray there. Or you can even sit where you're at and pray where you're at, asking that the Lord would give you strength and encouragement, that you would stand as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Were they superheroes? They were just men, just like us. Well, except you women. But you women can have just as strong a faith and testimony, correct? That the trial of your faith, that it can bring honor and glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just a moment, we're going to sing a song of invitation, 382, Softly and Tenderly. During this noisy society, the Lord comes to us softly and tenderly. Be still and know that I am God. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now your hand of blessing on us this time. Give us strength and encouragement, Lord, to do that which is right. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.